a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Subcommittee to order, the House Education Subcommittee on House Bill 1144. And welcome, everybody. And my little explanation as to why we're here, Secretary LaPlante and I kind of got together and concocted this little scheme to have a hearing. I chair the Tribal Relations Committee on the interim, and I was told I can't have a committee meeting during session. So as chairman of the Education Committee, I submitted a bill, and here we are. So there are a lot of ways to do business in this building. And with that, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Keller, Lucas, Strickers, here, Bannerman, here.
And I thank the other members of the Tribal Relations Committee for being here as our guest. And thought there would be some issues that you would want to be kept aware of. So thank you very much. With that, I will ask Secretary LaPlante to start the conversation, and we'll see where it goes from there. Thank you, Secretary LaPlante. Question, Senator Brad?
Yeah, I don't think the problem is really in any way with the enrollment. That part I don't think has any. But part of the problem, I think, is in the way the bill, because I'll tell you, just over the weekend, my niece, I had my niece here. All she had was her tribal ID. She's 31 years old, had five children, and she was age. We took the tribal ID down. We went to a bar. We wanted to have a drink right downtown. And of course, they came and ID'd her. I mean, they say they do anybody under 40 almost. So. And she produced her tribal ID, and he said, no, we don't take tribal ID. So we thought, oh, okay, we'll go somewhere else. In the meantime, she wants a pack of cigarettes, so we go out to Fort Pier. We stop at the Fresh Start, and if you want to go in there and ask them, we went in to buy a pack of cigarettes. They said, we want to see your ID. Put the same tribal ID. Remember at Rosebud, put your same tribal ID out. They said no. So she comes out, and I go in and buy her cigarettes for her. But they, and my point is, and I ask them,
you had a comment, Representative Keller. Should be.
I have a question for Secretary LaPlante. Actually, I have two questions.
Go ahead.
What was the South Dakota codified number again for that tribal IDs? Was that 5457?
1-54-7.
And then also, is the refusal of IDs, is that just off reservation, on reservation, or both?
Yeah, I think we've seen it. We've seen it in both. I received complaints from Mr. McMahon.
Cool.
I've received complaints from folks on the reservation and off. And also, to follow up with Senator Bradford's comment, the law is very clear. It does not allow for the ID to be used for purchasing alcohol, either in a bar or in package liquor. Okay. But it does. It's you can use it to purchase tobacco. So that would have been that would have been a non-compliance with our new law. And so now the question comes up, what happens when a business does not observe the law But where do you go with that?
That's what.
And so I think that's one of the reasons why we're having this hearing today, because I'm receiving complaints in my office, but I have no authority in the Department of Tribal Relations to go out to businesses, to go out to Fresh Start and say, hey, listen, now we passed a law, you got to follow this. There also are no penalties for not complying with the law in the statute. And so that is a very good point.
Senator Junkie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Secretary LaPont, but isn't there always universally with any retail outlet that they have the right of refusal to service? It's not uncommon to see that at a counter, that we do reserve the right as a business owner to refuse service.
I believe you're right. Yes, I think that's true.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Are there others that wish to testify on the subject? We have some waiting on the phone. All right, she's. Hi there. Would you state your name and then go ahead?
My name is Lynn Hart, Yankton Sioux tribal member from Flanders, South Dakota.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and give your testimony.
Oh, yes, sir, I will. Last year I testified on behalf of House Bill 1242. I'd like to say thank you very much for the passing in last year's legislative session. I realized that starting July 1st, it became law. And to me, that meant that it was law. A tribal ID card will be considered a valid form of identification for the following purposes. All purposes relating to banks or financial institutions. I guess I need to know what a financial institution is, because last November 17th, I went to my bank, Great Western Bank, at Sioux Falls and Walmart, to make a deposit. And I was trying to deposit money, and I had my wife with me day after Veterans Day, and we just came back from a powwow, and I was needing some cash, and the bank refused to accept my tribal ID as proper form of identification. Now, they want to say because I didn't have an expiration date on it, but I want to say that we as Indians, we never expire until we die. I can also understand, and I got to talking with Secretary LaPont, I'm sure he's there now, and Senator Killer. We've talked at length over different ways and different things to get things done. I'm trying to keep my eye on the prize today, and I'm just trying to figure out in that law, it states that there are penalties for the person that misrepresents himself. Like, say, if I was using somebody else's tribal ID card and went to a bank or whatever I was trying to do, then I would be punished with a felony or misdemeanor or whatever. But it doesn't say if the bank or the financial institution is penalized in any form or matter. Like when I was refused service, because according to the law that was passed July 1st, all banks and financial institutions are supposed to let me do my banking business in South Dakota. So I didn't understand that either. Or cashing checks, wherever checks may be cashed. I know a lot of people have had a lot of troubles in South Dakota cashing checks at MoneyGram or Western Union or things like that. I've done some research extensively I've called the corporate office of Walmart. I've called the corporate office of MoneyGram. I called the corporate office. All these places take tribal IDs. Most of them have been taken, like Walmart's been taking tribal IDs nationally since 2009. So I didn't understand that either. So there's a lot of language here. But I think what we're also missing too is education. I would like to see through Secretary LaPlante's office a PSA on TV, not in the newspaper, through KELOLAND, KOTA, showing something, doing a commercial or something like that, and explaining to everybody at one time, these are what tribal ID cards, maybe do a talk show and explaining that everybody's trying to get on the same page in a nice kind of way. I think that would be a great thing, education. And then I talked with my tribe, the Yankton Sioux, and we are agreeing to put an expiration date on our cards because I do agree that, you know, in 4 years, you know, I get a little uglier every year. So, you know, I do change in 4 years. So, I mean, I agree with an expiration date. But as far as, like, I do disagree with the things like I called Game Fish and Parks today, too, and I asked Officer Josh Carr whether or not tribal IDs are accepted to obtain a fishing license. So my twin boys at 12 could use their tribal IDs to go fishing. He said, no. And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense to me either. So because I need a South Dakota ID or a South Dakota driver's license to get a South Dakota hunting or fishing license. And right now, the way the law reads is that although the bill, 1242, authorizes the use of tribal ID cards expanded through the passage of House Bill 1242, it is important to note that tribal identification cards cannot be used for the purpose of acquiring a new or renewal South Dakota non-driver identification card or South Dakota driver's license, as the federal law does not consider a tribal identification card as an acceptable document to establish identity for the purpose of the Real ID Act. Well, I did some research on that, too. Under the Department of Homeland Security, it says all IDs that are acceptable, U.S. passport, U.S. card, Department of Homeland Security trusted card, U.S. military ID, permanent resident card, border crossing card, DHS enhanced driver's license from your state, Native American tribal photo ID, an American airline issued ID card, foreign government issued passport, Canadian Providence driver's license, or Indian and Northern Affairs Canada card, transportation workers identification credential. This standardization is the list of acceptable documents Better Airlines, TSA, and other DHS components, including Customs, Border Protection, and the Real ID benchmarks. Now, it doesn't say anything about where the tribal IDs are not accepted in the Real ID Act of 2005. Hence, it's been updated since 2011. Other than that, I feel that our tribal ID cards should be accepted to obtain a driver's license or to obtain a South Dakota identification card. We can use our South Dakota identification cards to vote in this state, and I just honestly feel that it's time that South Dakota would be kind enough to let us to step ahead and use our tribal IDs to go fishing and hunting with our kids and to get a South Dakota driver's license and work together on this and allow some grace period and put some teeth in the bill that if the law is broken, that the businesses or people that break the law need to be penalized. And that's about all I have to say. Hello? Hello.
Thank you for your testimony.
Oh, did it come through?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Is there any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you could stay on the line for a minute, we'll see if there's any questions here.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions of Mr. Hart? Go ahead. I don't know if he'll hear. Are you hearing the question?
I didn't hear the question, no, ma'am.
Yeah. Do you want to just come over here? We're having a little technical problems here, so just hold on.
I understand.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Hart, can you kind of further, this is Representative Kevin Killer from Pine Ridge. Could you expound upon a little bit more about some of the other issues that you had at various banks in terms of educating some of the, because I know you contacted me not only on this Great Western
Hello?
Part. Can you hear
Hello?
Me? Hello.
Hello. Hello?
Yeah, see, this one was working.
It was working, maybe.
Testing, testing, testing.
Hello. Okay.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Can I talk to him if I pick
him? Yeah.
Hello?
Something's not right here.
Can you get this so I can talk to him? Or not?
I think if I push hang up, I'll hang up on
him. Oh, okay. Then we don't want to do that.
Volume's way up.
Hello?
Hello. Anybody there?
Try that mic and see if, if by chance that...
This one works, apparently. We're having a little trouble with our microphones here. Just stand by.
Okay, maybe try that. Sorry to keep running you around. If we can get this one to work. Maybe.
We had trouble in the transportation committee here this morning. But it came back on.
I think he hung up, so did he hang up? Hello?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Is it possible to call him back? And I guess I could give testimony to you if that's okay. Okay, Mr. Chair. Madam Chair.
Done everything I can think of.
Yeah, we did an education.
Ran?
Yeah, we got him back.
Okay, got him back.
I'm going to try to hook you up again and see if we can hear
you. Hello. Hello.
Lynn?
Hello.
Hello. Lynn? Lynn?
Hello. Hello.
Say it a little louder there.
Lynn, can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Lynn?
Hello?
Testing, testing.
Lynn, can you hear me?
Oh, man. You gotta be kidding me. Hello?
Checking, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear?
This was working, though. I mean, even when I first started talking to him, it was working.
Yeah, those are... The other day, the other morning this happened to us, we had to go in that room and reset the mics. You could hear on this one? It's just me. I'm just loud and vibrant.
I can't get into that room. Oh, it's downstairs.
Do you want us to call him back and just maybe we should let him know what's going on?
Yeah, I guess,
I feel kind of bad.
Just as, I guess, courtesy. Yeah,
so. And then you could go ahead and give, or I guess, sorry.
That's all right. My mic isn't working at all.
This is the only one that I think is working.
Testing.
And apparently it's just working here. You know, I get up and walk around for a minute, and they break everything.
Lynn, this is Representative Kim Bannerman, and we're having some problems with the...
Good afternoon. Ooh, that's working up. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Kurt Everson. I'm the president of the South Dakota Bankers Association, and we followed not closely the legislation as it moved through the session last year and take a position pro or con on it. We figured that was a matter of public policy for the legislature to deal with. This is really cutting in and out, isn't it? Anyway, I first became aware of this issue this session when Representative Lucas stopped by, caught me in the hallway yesterday and said there was going to be a hearing on this bill this afternoon, and so I haven't probably had as much time as I might otherwise have liked to prepare. But I'm simply here to just provide some information today and maybe some context as and to maybe ask for some patience on the part of everyone involved as we integrate the tribal IDs into, within the banking industry at least, a larger program, I'll call it, that I'm going to take us back in history a little ways. After the terrorist attacks of 2001, Congress quickly passed a piece of legislation that was very far-reaching called the USA Patriot Act. And there was a little section in that act, Section 326, that was only a few lines long, and it basically said that banks, financial institutions, needed to establish and adopt formal policies inside their institutions so that they made sure they knew their customer. They had to specifically know who they were dealing with to avoid unknowingly, unwittingly financing terrorism or other kinds of money laundering activities. And so after that act passed, it took almost 2 years for the federal regulators to adopt rules that then applied to banking institutions that related to this whole effort, this customer identification process or program. Those rules were 106 pages long, if you can believe that. And so to implement a simple paragraph in statute, all of the U.S. Treasury and all of the federal banking agencies got together and worked and worked and worked to develop a process. And so now I bring that to your attention today because essentially now we've got to figure out a way to fit tribal identification cards into the overall customer identification programs that banks all have to have. It's very formal. They all have to be written. They have to document how they train their employees and so on and so forth. So it's going to take a little bit of time to integrate customer ID or tribal IDs into those kinds of programs. And so, you know, we will be working on that as we go forward. I would, for the members' benefit, just distribute a copy of a story that appeared in the South Dakota Banker magazine just this past January, last month, that is just all it's meant to be is to provide an example of the kinds of efforts that the association is taking and will continue to take to continue to make sure that all of the banks in South Dakota understand the implications of this, of the bill that you all passed last session. We, just for your information, this magazine, our circulation is about 700. It goes to all 88 of the banks that are chartered in South Dakota, plus all of their branch locations, which number over 400. We also just now have started making this publication available online on our website. We actually email another 364 email addresses every month when the magazine comes out. And so there are, what I'm saying is there are means we can use to communicate information like this to the institutions in South Dakota. As well, we generally broker or provide for, on an ongoing basis, frontline training for bank employees, tellers specifically that are dealing and personal bankers that are dealing with individual customers on an ongoing basis, and so this will be integrated into that training as well. So I guess what I would tell you is we'll find out because bank examiners love policies and because they love to review those policies when they conduct their periodic examinations, we're going to find out if there are any hiccups here, if there's any inconsistencies between the way the law was written in South Dakota and the federal customer identification standards. And we probably won't know if there are those until sometime down the road, but if we find them, then we can address them going forward. But that's really all I have to offer. Certainly respond to any questions, but this is a work in progress for the banking industry is what I would like to leave you with.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Virchow?
Do you know if the SSUs don't work, I was talking about it doesn't say here this banks is where checks are cashed. I don't know what you call the automatic machines that checks when you go to the studio, the thing they run on through.
Yeah.
Do they recognize tribal information? No.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know how to answer the question, Representative Burkio.
Thank you.
I have a question. If you see what I really think we're involved somewhat with is that we can never take away the right to refuse an ID, period. Isn't that true?
I'm sure. Yeah, I would say that's you know, it gets right. Or if there's sometimes it's not a matter of the ID. It may be a matter of the person with the ID. It may be that the name of the person on the ID has, you know, is on some list that's kept of you know, bad checks or other kinds of issues.
That's the thing. And I think a lot of that's like everything else. Some of that is what JR is going to try to do, is exposure to a lot of these places who have never really even, practically don't even know the bill exists, let alone, you know, anymore. So in that aspect, I think it we may see a better acceptance, shall I say, of it, rather than the other thing. I they keep saying expiration date, and you know, it's tough because in the tribal ID business, you know, once you're a member, you know, it isn't like a driver's license where you have to renew it ever so. I mean, that's a law. There, I mean, once you get that good tribal ID, you know, you can keep it for 10 years. I mean, who's going to, in that, we may have to get to that, like Secretary LaPlante said, these other ones have to put an expiration date maybe on there. But right now, they don't really like to do that some of them. So, those are things, though, that we can work out. What I thought we were going to do is talk about any changes that need to be made in the bill so that it would be more relevant. That's what I'm interested in. The working out what's already there, such as the situation with my niece in that. I think that's a matter of fresh start, maybe getting some education, seeing the ID bills and realizing that there is the law, you know. So, but I really thought we needed to look and see among us legislators if there's some legislation we need to do. And that's what my idea of this meeting was, to find out if there was some legislation.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Killer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to answer the Senator's questions, I believe that with, you know, the passage of this bill, especially unanimous on both sides of the House, showed a lot of goodwill in terms of, you know, the state of South Dakota wants to do something about this. And the whole intention of me bringing this bill was actually aimed at getting our young people, you know, which is 40% of our population is under 18. So to have that big amount of a population, depending, like for Pine Ridge, for example, you know, and I'm sure you all know the committee, but just for the benefit of the audience, that, you know, we don't have a driver's license office on Pine Ridge. So we have to wait once a week, you know, so you expect those young people to wait 1 week, especially if they live in Kyle. They have to wait on Thursday. Then if they miss your opportunity, and especially with the Real ID Act now requiring so much documentation to obtain a license, doesn't only affect, native members, but also rural areas. You know, it's a big, you know, it's a point of contention. And I think we've seen various bills that came up, you know, House Bill 1169, which Representative Russell's doing, you know, which I'm a sponsor on. It actually includes tribal IDs in that, you know, and saying that, okay, well, how can we get these young people brought up and, you know, making sure that they have a license or ID, you know, when there's documentation, when they're asked for that. And, you know, and I'm not sure if Senator Teason ever experienced this, but some in Rapid City, some people only have a tribal ID, you know, so if they're pulled over by police or something like that, that might be their only form of ID. So that's one reason that we wanted to bring the bill. But there has been positive, you know, experiences with this. It wasn't all negative, but I think just, you know, with the members of the Retailers Association coming forward and actually having a collaboration on making sure that we can kind of come to some sort of resolution on moving forward, you know, of what to do. That's one thing. But I did want to go on record and actually say that, you know, one of the issues, especially, you know, with Walmart, and I'm not sure if Walmart has a lobbyist or if the retailers know about this, but one thing that, did come up is that, you know, a lot of people go to Walmart to cash checks, you know, and Walmart's this big, you know, encompassing, becoming more and more in the financial sector and all that kind of stuff. They have a check cashing place. But one of the things that they did have an issue with was that, you know, with the P.O. boxes on the tribal IDs, and you all seen the tribal ID that I passed around, was that they said that, you know, they can take a state ID with the P.O. box to cash a check, but in order to take a tribal ID, it had to have a physical address on the ID, which kind of doesn't, you know, I'm not sure if the retailers can answer that question. I don't expect them to do without Walmart's lobbyists here, but maybe they can kind of talk about that. But that was one point of contention, you know, especially being in the rural areas, you know, because like we have, Shatterance right there for next to Pine Ridge, and we have Rapid City. But, you know, it's a plus to, you know, being able to accept the check and cash it, because most likely that individual is going to spend the money in that store, you know, so it's going to double. So whether you're from Gregory or Winter or, Rapid City, that's going to benefit those businesses there. So that's something that, you know, might need some clarity on, and I'm not sure if the secretary can answer that question or not, but that was, I know Walmart's one of big issues, you know, that they said that, you know, we can take a state ID, but a tribal ID had to have a physical address on it, and I'm not sure what that is. So thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That's a question. If you'd like to answer it, that'd be great.
I don't know that I can.
Is that you?
Madam Chair, Representative Keller, first of all, Walmart's not a member of the Retailers Association, so I won't speak on their behalf. It's my understanding, just visiting with the folks in the back, that on the new state-issued IDs, correct, Ms. Gerber, correct me if I'm wrong, you can't have a post office box on those, let alone on a tribal ID. My presumption is, again, not speaking for that company, that's just a store policy that's they want to have a physical address. I mean, I really can't speak to it much more than that, but I think that's probably the connection that company may be making, that state IDs have to have a physical street address, so therefore the tribal IDs. If we're going to treat them in the same, and we've had this conversation a couple times, if we're treating them the same way as a regular state-issued ID, a regular state-issued ID can't have a P.O. box on there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Kurt Everson again. One of the things I printed off today before I came was some guidance from a vendor that sells CIP or customer identification programs to banks. And I'm reading from the minimum identifying information for a customer identification program for a bank. And it says for individuals, this includes name, date of birth, residential or business street address. And then there's the only exception to that is for an Army or Fleet post office box number, which are both military. So for a civilian South Dakotan, I think if you're going to comply with a bank's customer identification program, you're going to have a residential address somewhere on the ID or some other place where the bank can figure out where you live, whether that's a utilities bill or something else like that. But that's kind of FYI.
Thank you for that information. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may respond to Representative Killer's question and also to the comments that were made, that is problematic with regard to tribal IDs. And, of course, when I agreed to help the State Tribal Relations Committee help in the educational effort, I made a lot of phone calls, but one of the phone calls I made was to the National Congress of American Indians, which was supposed to have applied for federal funding to help tribes bring their IDs up to standard. They were not able to get that money. Not very many people are getting money out of Congress these days, and so there's not any money out there for tribes to bring their IDs up to that standard. And so I guess in the alternative, as the gentleman just said before I came up, was there are exceptions. And I would urge the committee to consider tribal IDs under that exception, because a lot of our residents on the reservation do not have physical addresses. They may have rural routes. They may have, but there's not a lot of street addresses. A lot of tribal members have box numbers. And so I would urge the committee to consider tribal IDs under that exception that was described by the Bankers Association.
Thank you.
Tribes are, I mean, it's they're being brought up to speed more with like the 911 response and that sort of thing, responder and through GPS and that sort of thing. But, the infrastructure is in some places is lacking. Yeah. And so, Kevin, I don't know if you want to comment on some of your residents down in Pine Ridge, but I know a lot of folks that I know don't have an actual street address. So I think that's why a lot of tribal folks were opponents of the tribal ID law, or of the Real ID Act when it was.
Secretary, I just ask, and right now I have box 690 on my driver's license, and when I go in to get my new one, I'm going to have to put a physical address, which is 4.5 miles east of Pine Ridge, south of Highway 18. And that is the point. That's where the feds came in. That's who is forcing us to do that. So when I go in to get my new license, I will no longer have just a box on mine. But the thing about it is, right now, we still have the box. So I could imagine that if they look at a new tribal ID, they'd say, well, you know, they should have a physical address too. I mean, it may be an excuse, but eventually South Dakota driver's license is going to have that too.
Madam Chair, I want to make sure that in the language of the law, it says that banks and financial institutions must accept tribal IDs for any purpose a state driver's license or ID card is accepted. And if those are some of the complications, I will work with the Bankers Association to articulate some of those areas that's going to come up. We might want to maybe make sure that we have those dates on there. I know at some point, what is the drop deadline on that? Do we know right off when the state IDs have to be brought up to standard? And so part of that education will be working probably with public safety and motor vehicles to say, this is our drop deadline, and maybe we might want to get the tribes on the same. But bear in mind that the challenge is going to be money for the tribes to be able to bring up to standard. So maybe we could look at some collaboratives. But
good afternoon. Cindy Gerber with the Driver Licensing Program in the Department of Public Safety. And I'll address the question, and then I have a couple things I want to clarify as well. The deadline for the Real ID regulations is January 15th of 2013. We started issuing in December 31st of 2009, and we're over halfway through. Over half of our drivers have the compliant cards now. The drop-dead deadline as far as using the compliant card for federal official purposes, which is boarding aircraft and entering federal buildings, is December of 2014 if you were born on or after 1964, which is the younger generation. And then for everybody, you have to have one by December 1st of 2017. But we should have the majority of our people through the process by December 31st of 2014. So everybody should meet that deadline. So that answers the question about the deadline. As far as House Bill 1242 from last year, we didn't take a position on that bill because that bill didn't affect driver licensing at all. It didn't refer to us at all. And I just want to clarify a couple things in regards to Real ID. The Real ID requirements do not set standards for the issuances of tribal ID cards. It only applies to state-issued driver's licenses and ID cards. So the standards that are in Real ID, they don't apply to tribal IDs. They're not saying in order for a tribe to issue a tribal ID, they need to meet those same standards. That doesn't apply here. But what does apply, and I think you heard Mr. Hart say that, is the use of a tribal ID for the purposes of getting a driver's license under the federal regulations. I have the regulations with me. And a tribal ID card is not one of the documents that we can take for proof of identity and date of birth to issue a compliant card. So I just wanted to clarify that in the federal regulations, we aren't allowed to. It was even mentioned in the comments of the rules. There were commenters that requested a variety of additional documents to be considered as acceptable documents, including a military ID card and some different things as well as the tribal ID cards. And DHS's response to that was they don't agree with the comments suggesting that additional documents are needed. So I just wanted to clarify that under the Real ID regs, for the purposes of getting a driver's license, a tribal ID card is not acceptable. However, if that changes somewhere down the line, we do have in our state law that such other documents as DHS may designate in the federal rule, we could certainly consider that. So, just at this point, tribal ID is not an acceptable document for the purposes of getting a driver's license only. It doesn't have anything to do with anywhere else you might use your tribal ID card. Just wanted to clarify that and help so that everybody understood that. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anything else?
Mr. Chair, I just want to emphasize if the expectation is that the tribal IDs be brought up to the same standard as the state IDs as they're going to be in 2013, I want to make sure the committee understands that the tribes do not have the money to do that work. They do not have the money because, quite frankly, the Real ID Act doesn't apply to tribes. Mm-hmm. On explicitly in that federal statute, it doesn't apply to tribes. So if you just take STCL 1-54-7 on its face, what this legislature is saying is that banks and financial institutions and retailers must accept tribal IDs cards as they are, mm-hmm. not based upon the enhanced standards. They must accept tribal IDs as is. And I want to make sure that that be a point of clarification today. And I would also make the suggestion that if we're going to go in any direction in terms of trying to enhance and to kind of strengthen our efforts, because one of the things I noticed as we took on this task is it can be a time monster, but thankfully we have people that are working with us. But if there's anything, any further things that the committee can do to strengthen our efforts, I make those suggestions. But anyway, I just want to make sure the committee understands that the federal act doesn't apply to the tribes. And again, mm-hmm. the plain language of the law, as it is that we will accept those ID cards as they are, not according to the enhanced standard. Okay. And I hope if that's not what the law says, I would ask that somebody clarify that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else needs to come forward to this committee? If not, I know I mentioned to Secretary LaPlante that, you know, if there's something solid that we can do, we've got a bill here that we still have time to get it to committee. If there's any kind of amendment that would help the situation, you know, I'm certainly open to talking about that. But I think, you know, for today's purposes, we've done what we set out to do, if there's nothing else to come before this committee.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And I want to thank the committee and everybody that came and supported this hearing today. That is, we accomplished our goal. We wanted to have an open hearing during session and make that opportunity available. And so thank you, Chairman, for helping with that.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, Representative Killer.
Mr. Chair, I want to say thank you to support, you know, having this and just going through and showing that the State Tribal Affairs Committee doesn't just meet, but, you know, there's actual things that come out. And thank you to all the other members who agreed to come today and, you know, take up the time and all that. And to the a lobbyist as well. You know, thank you for coming and representing your industries. And part of it, might I suggest that, you know, this is something that we can work on over the course of this next year and upon the, you know, efforts of the trade groups and trade associations and the secretary's office and I guess my position and some of the others that I have interest, something that we can work on in informing, but also come back next year and maybe, you know, see where the tribes are at in terms of actually, getting that, because I wasn't aware of the requirements to bring all, you know, put physical addresses on IDs as well. So when we originally wrote this, I didn't foresee that. So that's something that, you know, if it does something that needs to come back, then maybe we can explore that in state tribal relations as a committee bill or something. So if that's a suggestion. So
okay. Thank you. Representative Strickers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say that as state representatives and senators, I think we can help with the informative process for the communities by making sure that when we write our weekly newspaper stories that we do add in some way, talk in public with our Cracker Barrels, but help with the awareness of the importance of recognizing the tribal ID any way that we can within our districts.
Thank you. With that, I would close public testimony, and you know, the bill that we've got, like I said, if we can do something with it, fine. If not, we will probably take it back to committee. We've got a meeting tomorrow, Friday, and Monday before crossover. If not, we'll probably move to table the bill if we have no further use for it. But with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Someone.
Motion by Vanneman. I can't accept your motion because you're not on our subcommittee. Second by Killer.
Yeah, it's
all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Motion carried. We're adjourned. Thank you very much.